Let's turn our Bibles in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, starting on verse 16. Matthew 6, starting verse 16. And the Word of God says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto man to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." May the Lord bless the reading of his own inspired and infallible word to our hearts this evening. Before we come to the preaching, let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we rejoice to be found in thy house tonight. We rejoice for thy word that guides us and instructs us and blesses us. Oh Lord, and we pray for teachable spirits tonight. Oh Lord, change us in what we need to change, and bless us abundantly. Oh Lord, bless the speaker and the hearers. Have a word for everyone tonight. Be in our midst. Send thy Holy Ghost to bless us. O Lord, we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to talk tonight about fasting. And Jesus starts this verse, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, by saying, "Moreover, when ye fast." Notice here that we don't have a commandment. It has an assumption. It was already a common practice among the Jews of the Old Testament. And there are about 70 references to fasting in the Old Testament. But is it for the believer today? And that's what Jesus indicates by this passage. This instruction regarding fasting was addressed to his own disciples. For them, when they fast, to not do as the Pharisees. And there are other passages in the New Testament indicating that same thing. And we even read about the disciples fasting in the book of Acts in special circumstances. And there are about 30 references to fasting in the New Testament. But it seems that it's not a common practice nowadays in the church. It's certainly contrary to the modern mindset. We live in a culture of abundance. We're enjoying life and its pleasures. It's the norm, even for the believer. Christianity nowadays, and broadly speaking, is mainly a search for pleasure and not a search for God. It's about how we can have a better life now. No one wants to abstain from anything. We need to enjoy our lives at its fullest. Now let me tell you, there is no problem in enjoying life, but we need to be careful. And to illustrate, let me share you one story. I had a conversation with a lady not long ago, a good Christian as far as I could see, where she came to me and mentioned that she read the book written by a Puritan, which talked a lot about self-denial. And she said to me, "I have no clue what self-denial is. I have no clue of what it is to say no to the good things of this life. Everything that I wanted in this life, I had it." And I'm talking here about good things. And then I asked her if she had ever tried fasting. And she said, "No, never." And mentioned to me and asked, is it what the Catholics do, right, during Lent? So that's what motivated me to address this subject. The Catholic Church teaches that fasting is meritorious. For them, it's mandatory. It's a religious practice, a ritual thing, a mechanical thing. It has a very wrong emphasis. And that's maybe why it's so neglected by many Protestants, because they see the error so evidently there. But if it's done properly, it seems clearly a New Testament practice. So tonight, I would like to have a very simple message, and we'll try to answer three basic questions about fasting: what it is, how it should be done, and when you should do it. So first one, what is fasting? And to start, I would like to say what fasting is not. Fasting is different from a diet. It's not to lose weight, nor to improve your health. If you want to lose weight or improve your health, that's fine. But that doesn't have anything to do with biblical fasting. Don't mix those things together. Also, fasting is not a sacrifice or kind of a penance, as the Catholics say, to try to impress God. It doesn't impress God at all when you starve. As the Bible tells us, God is not looking for sacrifice, but for mercy. So what is fasting? It's a spiritual exercise where we abstain from food or water or for a period, partially or totally, and set apart some time to seek the Lord in prayer. In the Old Testament, David calls it to humble the soul. And in Psalm 35, 13, as we read, it says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humble my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom." So fasting has the purpose of humbling the soul. The soul needs to be humbled and turned to God. Notice here, it's the soul, not the body. So instead of turning to our natural desires, to our flesh, The flesh, it needs to be mortified. And instead, our soul must be humbled and seek the Lord and learn to depend upon Him. So when we fast, we learn how to control our natural desire for food. We want to eat. Our bodies, it tells us we need food. But then we say no, against our nature, against our flesh. We learn that we don't live by bread alone, that there is something that we need more than bread. We need God. When we fast, we can experience that there is more delight with God than any joy that this world can bring to us. And then, tomorrow, when we are not fasting anymore, when this world overflows us, bombards us with temptations, sinful or not, then we can say, there is something better. There is something that I need more than this thing that is so appealing to me. You can learn in a very practical way to love more God and less the things of this world. To walk closer with the Lord. To have your sufficiency in Him. To be like that merchant man who has found the pearl of great value, and to be able to have it, he went and sold everything that he had. Isn't this what the church needs these days? To detach from the things of this world and to be full of God, and to confess that we depend upon Him. That's why fasting should always be done with prayer. Very few times you see prayer in the Bible with no connection to prayer. But every time fasting is mentioned, prayer is also mentioned. You need to set apart some time for prayer. That's the time when you're going to be present to present your cause to the Lord, all your burdens. Also, you should read your Bible when you're fasting. You need that spiritual bread. And that's the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need private time with the Lord. When Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, he had no disciples with him. He was alone. He was there to have time with his heavenly Father. Okay, this is the idea behind fasting. Now I want to see with you on how fasting should be done. First of all, fasting should be voluntary. There is no regulation about it in the New Testament. It doesn't tell us how long it should last, specific dates, when it should be done, nor what you should abstain from. It's not a mechanical thing as the Catholics believe. For them, it's during the Lent for 40 days, and you can't eat meat, except if it's fish. I wonder how that works. And I'm sure fish producers are very happy about it. Also, I wonder how do Catholics that are vegetarian think? What do they think about that fasting? So, but it seems that fasting in the Bible was triggered by special circumstances or needs. Daniel, he fasted for 21 days while he was mourning because of the circumstances and had only vegetables. David didn't eat or drink anything at all for 7 days until his son dies. Nehemiah, he fasted a day when he realized the situation of the people. And in the New Testament, the disciple fasted for the election of elders and to send people into the mission field. These fastings were done in special times with different time frames and restrictions as they were led by the Spirit and not according to a specific formula. So, if you are considering fasting, remember that's voluntary and that there is no formula for it. One thing that's important to mention is that you need to consider if fasting is suitable for you. There are some that have the kind of work that involves intense physical labor. So that may not be a good idea for these people. Maybe if it's your case, then you should take some time off if you want to do it. And then you also have more time to spend with the Lord. Also, there are those people with special health conditions where fasting would cause harm to their bodies that should be avoided. You need to consider all and other things and remember that God knows your heart and understands your limitations. But if there are no limitations, fasting is something available for us. Now let's read Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast." So Jesus is teaching us here something important about fasting. That there are times when we don't need to do it, and others when we should fast. There is no reason for fasting when there is no struggle. No one fasts when everything is fine. When there are the issues, that's the time for fasting. When Jesus was with his disciples, it was a period of blessing and joy, and that doesn't fit with the idea of fasting. Later, when the disciples were going to be exposed to times of persecution and great temptation, then there was the need for fasting. But for the Pharisees, they fasted twice a week, doesn't matter what. The Pharisees, they fasted for no reason. They saw no reason for fasting other than this, for the sake of it. It was an obligation. They didn't fast because of their sins or because of difficult circumstances or because they wanted a deeper relationship with the Lord. But for a Christian, we need to consider our motives. The heart is key. That's the problem of the people that were fasting in Isaiah 58. They were complaining that they were fasting. They were doing everything right. But still, God was not listening to them. So let's read it. Isaiah 58. It's, I think, the most important passage on fasting in the Bible. It gives such a great picture. It says there in Isaiah 58, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that he break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Do you see here what was going on? The act of fasting was not linked to the need of the heart. They were observing the law on the surface, and they thought that it was enough for God to saw their fasting. But the heart was wrong. They starved, but they didn't want to change. They starved, but continued to work and continue on their wicked ways. They didn't seek the Lord. There was no time for prayer and turn from their sins. Fasting is to turn from self and turn to God. Exactly the opposite of what they were doing. It was just a religious show, like the Pharisee that was described in Luke 18. God, I thank thee that I'm not as that other man, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. But remember what the Bible says about what he was doing. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God had nothing to do with what that Pharisee was doing. All his religiosity didn't reach heaven. Fasting has no point if there is no repentance, no contrite heart, no love for others, no time to seek the Lord. This man was doing it to show self and others how good he was. And this is another danger that may happen to you when you fast. That's why our text tells that we should not act in a way for others to see that we are fasting. It's not for everyone to know it. When you fast, you should just act normally. It's for God to see it and not for other people. But one thing, be careful. It doesn't mean that no one under any circumstances may know it. That's not the point here. Probably the ones that live with you, they will know it. If you decide to fast one day and not tell anyone at home, probably your wife or parents will look to you and say, "What's going on there? Are you sick? Why are you not eating?" And also, you're going to waste some food if you don't tell it anyone. And sometimes you may find appropriate to fast with someone else, and that person will obviously know it. Even there are passages in the Bible where all the nation was called to fast. So of course everyone knew about it. And the Lord answered their cry when they fasted as a nation. So the point here is not that you must hide from everyone any circumstance, but the question that you should have when you fast is, who are you trying to exalt? Is it God or self? That's the idea behind this passage. Okay, now the last question that we are going to address tonight. When should I fast? So as we saw already, there are times when there is no need to fast, but others where we should consider it. The first one, when there is sin, individual, in the family, in the church, or even in the nation. And this is valid for our individual sins, for when it comes to our families, church, nation. And for you to understand what I'm talking about, this doesn't mean that we should fast every time we sin. That's not the point. Otherwise, we would all need to starve to death. For these occasional sins, you need to repent and ask for forgiveness. But I'm talking here about those times when we fall, like David, or when we feel trapped by sin, when there is great temptation in your life, when we feel powerless against the power of sin, when we need some special help from the Lord. Like in Ezra chapter 10, verse 6, it says there, "Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away." Ezra fasted because of the sin of the people. Fasting is not to bargain for something you want to satisfy the lusts of your flesh. Fasting is to humble yourself before the Lord and to ask for mercy. "Lord, see how miserable condition I am right now. I don't want to remain in the sin. Lord, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I went very low. My family, they went very low. This nation went very low. See, Lord, how weak I am, so powerless I am against the power of sin. I can't fight against it anymore. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. We need thy help more than anything from this world. We need thee. Have mercy on us, Lord. Change my life. Change my heart." This is the time to fast. Look for God in the time of trouble. As it says in Hebrews 2, verse 18, "For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." There is hope for us, brothers, to have victory over sin if we turn from self and look to God. Also, we should fast when we are facing some crisis situations. Like when David fasted for his son for 7 days. As it says in 2 Samuel 12, verses 16 and 17. It says, "David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them." Parents, you should fast for your children. If the way they're living is causing you pain and sadness and tears, if they're far from the ways of the Lord, this is when you should fast. But you should not only fast for your child. When you have issues that seem to never end, "God, there is this area in my life that I don't know what to do, and it's killing me. It's draining all my energy. It seems that things never gonna get better in my life." You feel you're stuck, or things are out of control. Then you should fast. Also, when there is some difficult situation knocking at your door, Think about Esther that fasted for 3 days and for 3 nights when she knew about that decree that was going to kill all the Jews. Brothers, we need to learn how to depend more upon the Lord, of His power, for His intervention to open doors, to deliver us, to guide us. We need it. But are we seeking Him? Third one, we should fast when we need direction from the Lord and strength to perform difficult tasks. Here, it's not a crisis situation nor sin. It's when you feel overwhelmed by a task that is ahead of you. You are starting something where you have great responsibility. Jesus, before starting His ministry, He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, He saw the great challenge that were before Him, the great need of the people of the land, the burden of sin that He was going to carry, the persecution that He was going to suffer. And in preparation for that, He fasted. Moses also fasted for 40 days before he received the law. The apostles, they fasted when they were about to send people to do God's work, as it says in Acts 13. And also in the time to determine the leadership of the church, as it says in Acts 14:23. We need God's wisdom for these tasks. We are going to have, by the way, deacons' elections soon. Are we seeking for God's wisdom for it? Okay, also we should fast in situations of spiritual battles. Spiritual battles. When we know that the powers of darkness come against us. And that's real. In Matthew 17, verse 19 says, Matthew 17, verse 19 to 21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. We live in a spiritual battle. There are spiritual forces that oppose us, and we need power to fight against them. And let me tell you, there are situations in your life where you can only have victory over the enemy if you fast and pray. That's what Jesus tells us in this passage. We need power, brothers. And God give us power through fasting and prayer. And last one, we need to fast in situations of calamities. There is an example in the Bible. There are many, but this one is in 2 Chronicles 20, when Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, proclaimed a fast to all the nation because of the enemy that was about to destroy them. But I'd like to give you even another example. In 1756, France was ready to invade England. And then what happened at that time? The King of England called all the churches for a day of fasting and prayer. And know what happened? Churches were packed all over the country. John Wesley recorded that the fast day was a glorious day, and that humility was turned into national rejoicing for the threatened invasion by the French was averted. The people rejoiced and trusted God, that God was going to intervene to fight for them. And that's what God did. God saved the nation. And reading this story encouraged me, but also made me think how far we are from these days in our churches. So to conclude, considering these five different situations now, sin, crisis in life, overwhelming tasks ahead, spiritual battles, and calamities, do they sound familiar to anyone here? There is a weapon that is available for us, a time of fasting and prayer. Are we going to use it? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we rejoice in thy word and thy instruction. O Lord, and we confess that we need to seek thee more. O Lord, and we have even this tool that thou hast given us to help us to seek thee more. The fasting and prayer. Oh Lord, we want to seek thee more. Help us to be obedient to thy word and make an effort to try to have a closer walk with thee, oh Lord, that we may seek more thee than the things of this world. And oh Lord, our lives, our nations are so into enjoying life. There are so many distractions. Oh Lord, help us to seek thee more and not get trapped by these things. Oh Lord, there's so much we need thee, and we need thee more. O Lord, and how precious thou art, more than that pearl of great value, O Lord. But still, it seems so hard. So we, without thee, can do nothing. So we pray for thy help. Help us to have more commitment to thee, O Lord. Bless this congregation. Give us more intimacy with thee. Lord, we pray for thy blessing to be upon thy people. Help us to be more faithful to thee. Help us to sin less. If there are families here struggling with many crises, difficulties, oh Lord, help them to not look to circumstances, but look to Thee and Thee alone. Intervene, O Lord, in our issues, in our problems, O Lord, in our difficulties. We pray for Thy help. Bless us now as we praise Thy name. O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 456. 456. Near to the heart of God. And let's stand to worship the Lord. 456. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we give Thee thanks for the time we have with Thy people in Thy house, and we pray now as we go to our homes to bless us, O Lord. Give us good nights of sleep. Help us to meditate upon Thy word. Help us to draw nigh to Thee during this week. O Lord, be with us. Help us to share of Thy love to others and glorify Thee in everything that we do. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.